to see you today.
Pray that you are invigorated by the...
I'm going to turn that off real quick. Invigorated by the cool weather. I like it. I like it. It's not cold. It's cool. All right. I'll be taking your thoughts on the weather after service.
Mr. Everhart, we had a blessing last week of four of our people getting baptized, and man, what an encouragement that was. James chapter 1. I heard nothing but good things from our ladies that went to the conference yesterday, and I'm glad. I think if you went, you were glad you did, and hope the Lord spoke to your heart and met your needs, and praise the Lord for that. James chapter 1 and verse 22, some verses that we looked at actually yesterday and had visitation, but this will be kind of our introductory thought. James chapter 1 and verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, undefiled before God and from the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. God, thank you for these words that are here so powerful. God, I pray that we would make right application to them, and that God, we would consider you, Lord, as a... put this message together in my heart, Lord. I pray that, quite honestly, that you'd remove me, and that your Holy Spirit would say the things that ought to be said here today. God, I pray that you are glorified. Lord, we thank you and love you and are so appreciative of all that you've done for us. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I do like this time of year. It reminds me to be thankful. Fall time. And as we study this passage in James chapter 1 and verse 22, it tells us we see a connection between doing and hearing, and we ought not to just be hearers, but doers of the word, right? What good is it if we hear all of this truth and then never do anything with it? So the question is, what are you doing with what you have heard? Quite honestly, this morning, if we're really truthful, we don't need to hear more. Now, certainly we need to be encouraged, and maybe some people are just holding on to the end of the rope and just about done, and they need today, and I understand that. But if we just did what we've already heard, we have a whole life before us. So this morning's message is going to try and encourage us in that way. That the words that we have heard now become our works. There's a connection between hearing and doing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No. For faith cometh by hearing. Yes, and hearing by the word. So we hear the word of God, and now it causes me to go do something. Here in verse 23, it says, but be hearer of the word. And then in verse 25, but be a doer of the work. And then it goes on in verse 26. Sometimes we stop and just take these passages out and we fail to complete the thought. And in verse 26, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious, look at him. Look at how religious he is. He goes to church three times a week and cares... and bridles not his tongue, but deceiveth his own flesh. This man's religion, what does it say? Is vain. Hey, if all it is that you do is just listen and don't do anything about it, really, what's the point? What change has Christ made in your life if you are no different? And then we come to verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows. I'd like to draw our attention to the fatherless. This morning's message is about, as maybe you saw in the front of the bulletin, again, appreciate Mr. Bauman. Mr. Bauman's not even here, and he's working on these things and gets this all done for us, and he puts a lot of effort into it. We work throughout the week and getting something, and try and make the services blend well together and connect. Adoption. Adoption is quite the thing. If you, in life, in human speaking, if you are interested in adopting a child, you can't just go up to the adoption agency and say, okay, where do I get my kid? They don't do that. No, it's a process. We are in that process, so I'm slightly familiar with it. There is a certain requirements to adopt a child. Thankfully, there's no age requirement. Isn't that like you could be, Brother Johnson, you could adopt a child. Just saying. Well, we'll go through the qualifications quickly. You have to be stable. Some, all of you are just like, I'm out. Stable health. You have to physically be able to take care of someone. You can't adopt hoping that they take care of you, right? What I need is a caregiver. So I'm just going to go adopt a teenage boy and hopefully he can take care of me. No, that's not how that goes. You have to be able to physically take care of them. You have to be able to emotionally. One of the evaluations is an emotional or mental health examination. Say, well, that's not... Well, kind of makes sense, right? If... we could come up with a lot of instances of where that would be a problem if you are not emotionally and mentally strong enough to be able to handle a child. Some of you as parents know that mental and emotional strength is necessary for parenting. Okay, good. You almost have to be sometimes emotionless, right? I mean, like, I can't allow my emotions to get the best of me. You have to be cleared of any child abuse. Now, if you've ever in your past abused a child, you'll not be allowed to adopt a child. Again, makes sense, right? I mean, none of these guidelines do we look at and go, that is just unreasonable. No criminal history. Secure finances. That's where we fell out. We were in the process, and we were sitting across from the table, and we were at our interview, and we were explaining faith and finances to the lady, and she's pretty much closed her book and said, "I'm sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Russo, we cannot help you, or you can't help us." And I thought to myself, "Surely I've seen some of the circumstances, but on paper it's got to make sense. Got to be able to financially support a child." Okay, I understand. Secure finances. You have to have a safe and secure home. They gave us a set of guidelines, and right now we have our house is very well covered with both smoke and carbon monoxide detectors, things we didn't have before we started this process. We have a fire extinguisher in the kitchen mounted because that's what they required. So we made our home safe and secure, and then we would have had to take classes, adapting classes. And if you do all of these guidelines and you pay a sum of money, you can adopt a child. Great. That's what we wanted to do. Well, not so much the adoption, we wanted to foster. But it's the same process. I'd like to look at some verses and talk about that same relationship between God and us. So Galatians chapter 4 this morning. How's everybody feeling? Feeling good? Are we doing all right? Everyone good? Weather, temperature okay? I know busy weekends. I know gentlemen. I know when the ladies are away, it gets hard. I get it. I understand. Pretty much the goal at Saturday afternoon was just to have as many children that we started with end. That's it. That's all we needed, right? If the wife comes home and counts heads and they're all there, we've done our job. Pay no attention to the glitter. Pay no attention to the Legos. I don't know where the dog is. And I understand that. That was our day yesterday, John. And the ladies come home and like, oh, I met with Jesus. And I'm like, Jesus has been nowhere near this house. So I understand that's kind of where we're coming in at. And they're all happy and touched by the hand of God. And I wrestled with the devil himself. So here we are, Sunday morning. We're okay. We're doing good. We're relaxed. We're looking at the scriptures, Galatians chapter 4. And I pray that this is a blessing to you and a help to you. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The greatest act of adoption is not from a human to a human, although that is wonderful. Hey, if I could encourage you, maybe if you have an opportunity to adopt a child, to do that, say, what are you saying? I'm just saying there's a lot of needy kids out there that could use a good, stable home. If I could encourage you to get into foster care and do that, you will change a life. And that's remarkable and that's wonderful. But the greatest example of adoption is not from human to human, but from God to human. And that's what we see here. God adopted us. Romans, look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Similar passage. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So if we be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. The spirit of adoption. God in His perfect wisdom and perfect plan adopted you. Adoption's a little bit different than natural birth. Had no choice. 13 years ago we had Joe. Today. Today's his birthday, 13. Right? Good. We talked about this before. And I'm not going to say anything about it. But we had no choice in jail. That's what God gave us. To which we are thankful. We're most thankful. We love Joe. Right? He's like, I want to go back to Mr. Kopaczewski's class. But we had no choice. We had no choice in Sam or Joe or Abby, Sophie and Hudson. That's just who God gave us. Adoption's different. You go in eyes wide open. There's a file. There's a record. And God looked at your file and your record and he says, yep, I want that one. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at a bunch of verses. I'm so glad you bring your Bibles. You got to be careful saying that these days. Some people bring a tablet, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we use the scriptures, and I hope that's encouraging to you. I'd like to see what the Bible says about things, because, well, that's what really matters. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, we're going to hear some words that... Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, you got to be careful, all right? Ephesians 1, 4, 5, and 6. A lot of times people stay away from these verses because they don't understand them. And they see words that get tied to something else and just don't want to mess with that. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God had a plan. God has a plan for you. His plan was to take you as his child, make you his own, and in which turn then you become holy and righteous. That was his plan. That's his plan for each and every single person. For God is not willing that any should perish. Amen. He doesn't want anybody to. So he paid the price for everybody. I've gone out before, I think it was a couple years ago, went out for my birthday to... We do multiple birthdays because my brother-in-law's birthday is right around my birthday. So we went out to this Mexican place. And here we are. We're at this Mexican restaurant. My brother-in-law picked it. He liked it. We're sitting there. I'm having good food. He's having good food. And it goes time to pay. And what did my dad do? He bought everybody's dinner. Whoa. My family, Michael's family, everybody. That's what the Lord did. He bought everybody's. He got everybody. He made it so that we could all be without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Know what that means? That means he had a plan. He went through and he looked through all the files, all of our files, and he saw what a mess we were, and he says, oh yeah, I'll take that one and that one and that one. And there's not a file that came across his desk that he didn't say, I want that one. Every single one. He adopted us to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Where he can take a broken individual and make him feel loved. Where he can take, quite honestly, a dreg of society, the lowest of low, and make him an heir. An heir. One who receives an inheritance based on the treasures of God. And he adopted you and I. And it was his plan the whole time. It wasn't like, all right, doors are open, come on in. Ever get stuck holding the door for somebody? There you are, you're at a restaurant, you hold it open for your family, and then, like, a bus lets out, and you're like... And by the time you get to your table, the appetizers are already there. And you've been there so long. And that's not what happened with the Lord. Lord wasn't like, all right, come on in, come on. Okay, you come on. Wasn't expecting you, but all right, we can put up another chair. Ever go to someone's house and you sit down? This happens to us because we have seven. And we go to that. We just went to someone's house this past week or a couple weeks ago. We're sitting there and we're sitting, and my kids are like, "Dad, there's not enough chairs. We're missing one." Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I miscounted. We'll get one. That's not how it is with the Lord. He's not like, all right, George, come on in. I wasn't planning on you, but I guess. No. No, it was all his plan. We are all his plan. It was planned the whole time. To do what? To make you his child. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. How many of you like going to the zoo? Anybody go to the zoo? Here's a common scene you'll see at the zoo. We don't need to go to the zoo. We live at the zoo. But so you'll see a guy, he's about 5'10", blonde hair, blue eyes, smiling, happy. Got a little child. On the other side of him, a little lady. 5'4", happy, holding a little child. Little African-American kid in between. You look at that and go, 1 + 2 does not equal 3. Right? And you think, man, praise the Lord. That's what I think. Someone that didn't have a mom and dad now does. Now, that's a judgment I make. Maybe it's a friend or whatever. But when there's only one kid and they're both holding and smiling, that tells me someone that couldn't have their own kids, maybe adopted, and how beautiful that scenario is. And you just see this little kid just like, I can't believe I'm living in Disney World. I can't believe that this is my life. Or you see a family and they all look the same, and then there's that one. And it's like, man, that's awesome. If you have an opportunity to make your family like that, and the Lord lays that on your heart, do that. There's a lot of kids without that. John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, God could have just explained our salvation with the thought of the new birth. He could have just explained it like that, which would have been suffice. I get it. I understand what the new birth is. I was this, but you gave me life, and now I'm this. But he goes on multiple times throughout Scripture, and he gives us the parallel of adoption. Someone that maybe has no home, no family, and all of a sudden you do. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. In verse 26. How do I get that? For ye are all the children of God. And you know what? Some people stop there and believe that. We're all God's children. But that's not true. For ye are all the children of God. Let's finish the verse. By faith in Christ Jesus. Oh, we're all his children. Not unless you accept his son. And then you become his child. Adopted. Chosen. Loved. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 18. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Some of you in this very room didn't grow up with a good dad, or a dad at all. And then you met the Lord, who made every sacrifice and every care and every security that you never had. And it was almost like the little kid at the zoo. This is too good to be true. I don't deserve this. But now you have a new father. Look at Isaiah 40. In verse 31. A familiar verse, but not usually used in adoption. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I just think about that little child that maybe is in this awful situation in a home. Because, well, quite honestly, who needs adopting? Kids that are in stable, intact, happy homes don't get adopted. The circumstances by which put a child into adoption is not usually good things. They start with, they start kind of a phrase that we use it behind the eight ball. They start with a tough life. They start with a stack of things against them. A mold that they're going to have to break. A life that they're going to have to undo. A lot of overcoming. And God says, hey, come with me and I'll make you soar. I'll make you fly. I'll give you an opportunity to run and not faint. You talk to some people that work in maybe social services or something like that. That type of thing. There's some really sad stories out there on a regular basis. Kids have just, it started off in a broken home and it just never got any better. Some years ago, I had the privilege of going to Africa. Went with Brother Sutliff, and we were concerned that if we ever brought Mrs. Sutliff there, that there would be a lot more people going home. Because there's a lot of little kids that have no mommies and daddies. And it's heartbreaking. Hey, there's a lot of souls out there that have no dad. And it's heartbreaking. If I took you over to Avenue D and I walked up to the regular average house, now I'm not stereotyping, I'm just saying that maybe is a income housing area. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying, if you go to the random house and say, hey, can we help in here? We'll see things and hear things. And the same thing happens in Hamlin and Hilton, all that. It's not just the city of Rochester. But there's some people that need some help. And there will be things that you would see that you'd say, oh, that just breaks my heart. Look at that kid. Look at all the dirtiness. Look at all this. Look at the mother strung out on heroin on the couch. They don't even know we're here. And who knows where the dad is. And that's real. And it breaks your heart. And you go, oh, what are these kids eating? They're growing up themselves. And they do. And just breaks your heart. What about the soul that walks by with no father? What about the one that walks by and has no hope and peace? Sure, they maybe are dressed up nice, but you can see that the spirit of adoption hadn't grabbed a hold of them. They're not walking around holding hands like, I cannot believe this. This is the greatest life ever. Hey man, you're just at the Rochester Zoo. It's not all that. You don't know where I came from. You don't know where I used to live. You don't know what I used to see. You don't know what I used to have to eat. I didn't know if I was going to get up the next day. How about you? And I had no hope. I was without Christ. I was on my way to hell. That's amazing. And you walk by someone that just shaking their head. I have no idea where I'm going. They need a father. They need the Holy Spirit of God, the spirit of adoption to grab hold of their heart. Then they'll walk around like that kid. Huh? That's amazing. This is the greatest life in the world. Why? Because someone believed in me. Someone took me out of my mess and put me on the back of an eagle and now I can soar. Can run and walk, not have to worry about quitting. 1 John chapter 3. Why did he adopt us? Ever ask that question? What'd he get? Why did he do it? Why did he die on the cross? Why did he go through all that? Galatians says that he redeemed us by his blood. Why did he pay all that for me? 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love. Because he loves you. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Where therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Why did he do it? Because he loves you. He brought you into the family, paid for it all, he got it all set up because he loves you. Once again, we come back to the original list. The adoption guidelines. Stable health. Physically able. Stable emotionally and mentally. Yes. Yes. He went into it prepared. He had a plan. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 1. He adopted you on purpose. He was in his right state of mind. He was in all of his strength. He had it all figured out. It was his plan from the very beginning. He had a plan. Well, was he cleared on child abuse? Yes. Galatians chapter 4. Go back to there. The most precious tender word in Galatians chapter 6, and because, or chapter 4 and verse 6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We've mentioned this before, but that's like that word in our language. I'm dad, I'm father. When my little Abby comes up and she's like, Daddy, stop. It's just that precious connection. Child abuse. Oh no. No, no. He cares for every, no matter the color, no matter the class, no matter the circumstance. And they all call him Daddy. Because he's precious to them. He's precious to you and I. In Romans chapter 8, it says the same thing. And the danger is that maybe we get over that. That we no longer see him as that. That we're no longer the little child walking hand in hand, looking around going, this is amazing. That somewhere along our life, we somehow got to the place that we thought we deserved. And it becomes no longer appreciation, but an entitlement. God, you owe me. Wait a second. Let's remember. Let's remember where it was. Let's remember the circumstance. You were living in a place you had no hope. You had nothing. I came in and I rescued you. And sometimes we get that in our way. God owes me. Not to alarm you, but if anybody owes anybody, we owe him quite a bit. No, there's no abuse there. There's nothing but the precious Father holding onto his little child's hand. No criminal history. Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2:3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. If anyone was the criminal, it would be me. If anyone was the offender, it was me. I broke the law. They warned us when we were in the adoption classes. They said, you might get a call and say, we have a child and in a couple hours we're going to be at your house. Child's 3 or 4 days old. You think, oh, that's awesome. That's great. That's exciting. Addicted to because mom. And here you start off with a child. It's 4 days old, already addicted to. How are you with teenagers, they asked us in the class. Oh, pretty good. I work with teens all the time, you know. These teenagers will tell you stories that will make your hair stand up. You have teenage boys in your house? Yes. Okay, no teenage girls. Well, you know, my daughters were... No, no. Those girls will mess up your boys. Whoa. They know by experience. That's what they're saying. We'll find a different... You'll be more fit for this or that. This one's already been in jail. This one has stolen. This one... You got to watch this one. And the one that comes with the rap sheet... are the ones that are getting adopted. Dom, you used to work over at Hillside? There's some tough stories over there. Heartbreaking stories. Do you understand that you were a heartbreaking story? That was your life. That's what you were. You were this. You were a mess. You gave all care to the lust of the flesh. You were a criminal. You broke the law. And God says, yep, bring them. I'll make them holy. I'll make them righteous. I'll give them a reason to live. I'll show them what real love is. I'll adopt them as my own. How about secure finances? Galatians chapter 4. We're almost done. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them. He paid for it. Secured finances. All right, sir, we're going to have to look at your checking account. Can you afford a trip over to China to be able to... And then it's going to cost an estimated $20,000 to $30,000 to adopt a child. Whoa. No, we're going to have to save up. Excuse me, sir. You ready to redeem this one? It's going to cost the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's what I am. That's what I have. I'll take him. I'll redeem him. And that's what you cost. Yes, he had very secure finances. To which then changed your status from homeless, familyless, verse 6, and because ye are sons, now you have a family. The adoptive class have been complete. Here's your child. And now you have a family. Now you have a home. And God the Father. God the Father is your Father. Even if your earthly father has been delinquent and absent or missing or just rude and godless or whatever it was, come to the Father, the Heavenly Father. Say, I have nothing to offer. He's not looking to get an offer. He's just looking for you, to take you in. The benefits are great. All the benefits of a birth child that we now get. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. Servants live in different places than the son does. We used to work in some really nice houses over in the east side of town. And there would be this like huge garage. And it's like, wow, that's a really big garage. And they're like, oh, that's the old servants' quarters. Servants' quarters is bigger than my house. And then you look at the house and it's like, whoo. Wow. No. Hey, come out of the servants' quarters. Come live. Come be like the son. There's a lot of people I care about in this world. A lot of children I care about. But when we're at the zoo, I'm not counting up all the other kids. I'm counting up my kids. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Or any other kids that we brought in addition to. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Parents are very, like when we take class trips, they like when their kids come back. So we do everything we can to keep that way. And that's what God does. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 7 billion, 7.5. They're all here. All right, let's start counting again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, there he is. And he keeps track of us all. And he's able to meet all our needs. And he's adopted us into his family. Last verse, Romans chapter 8. See, I didn't get a lot of points. I was trying to take notes. All right, God had a plan. His approach was precious. It was costly. He changed our status. He made rebels and criminals into heirs. And why did he do it all? Because he loved us. And then in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. And if a child then heirs, and if children then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. Now look at this last thought. That we may be also glorified together. That in the very act of adoption, God gets glory. How is that? Because he takes a lost criminal that has no family and no home and is a complete mess, and he gives us stability and strength and security and love, and he gives us this weird smile on our face that as we walk through the zoo, people are like, oh, something's up with that one. And that's how we ought to walk through life. You would not believe. Why are you always so happy? Because let me tell you where I was to where I am. God in his perfect wisdom, in his plan, adopted you and I. If you're here this morning and you don't know about that, why wouldn't you want to get in on that? You'd rather... It blew me away when they told us no, honestly. No, you have not met the requirements to adopt a child. Or foster. I didn't want to adopt. I just wanted to foster. They warned us, though, if you foster, you end up... they'll just grab a hold of your heart. You'll end up adopting. That's not me. I'll show you. And when they told us no, it's no, you can't. I think back of the places that I've seen and the circumstance, I thought, man, surely our house is better than their home circumstance. Surely, Lord, you've made a mistake. But the Lord makes no mistakes. But God, in his perfect wisdom, is able to take us all in. There's no restrictions. If you think your case is too far gone, too much a mess, you've never met anybody like the Lord. And you know what? The doors are still open. That you can help in the adoption process. Hey, you got to get in on this family. The family of God. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Isn't that good? Hey, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, get in today. Allow someone to show you. Allow someone to show you the adoption process. Say, is it joining? It's not joining this church. It's getting hooked up with God in heaven. If you've been adopted and you somehow feel like you are entitled to it, hey, let's get back to remembering where we came from. Let's get back to remembering who we were and enjoying this life again. The joyful Christian life. You don't know the problem. Your worst day as a Christian is still far better than your very best day without Christ. The worst possible day that a Christian could ever have. Say, you don't know where I go with that. You don't understand. You don't remember. Because without Christ, you have no hope. It's better. Maybe you want to help someone else get in on the adoption process. Let me introduce you to my Father. We'd love to adopt you. Now, to the normal person, that sounds creepy. But you understand what we're saying, right? There's people walking around with no family. Oh, sure, they got brothers and sisters, but nothing eternal. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. Thank you for adopting us. God, I pray that our life would glorify you. That the things that you've done, the changes that you've made in our life, that God, you would get glory from. Lord, I pray that you bless this short time invitation, that God, we would consider and remember what you did for us. Lord, help us to get in on that and explain that to others. Lord, forgive us. Are feeling entitled. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message from this morning? Maybe you just want to come and thank the Lord. Thanks for even knowing everything about me and still bringing me in.